It is a very human trait to want to improve us in some way. We think about our talents, our wishes, and our desires, and we are certain that we could be doing so much better than what our circumstances indicate. The feeling is that if only this or that happened, if only would we win the lottery, or better yet, if God would just smile on us, things would be different. Well, we all have a certain idea about what our life should be, and we concern ourselves with trying to make it happen. Some time ago, a friend of mine attended a high school class reunion, and somebody remembered to bring along the senior class yearbook. Now, for a while, several of the alumni amused themselves by looking at their senior class photos. Next, their attention was drawn to that page where they had each written about what it was that they had planned to do with their lives. Each had stated their intentions, and they were very enthusiastic about them at the time. No one doubted that those intentions would be fulfilled. Well, it was noticed that not all of the classmates had followed the path that they had set for themselves. For some, what they had intended to do, well, it just didn't happen. And they began to discuss this among themselves. It seemed so important at the time, so what happened? Why did some of them chase their dreams while others chose not to? Did they have a different dream? Did they change their minds, or did they lose interest? Now, the interesting thing about it was that even though life took a different path than the one that they had initially intended, most of them felt somewhat satisfied with their life the way it was at that moment. In looking back, very few of them had any regrets. So what about us? Did all of our plans turn out the way that we had intended? Did we always follow our dreams? And if not, what hindered us? Now, in our time of reflection, we may even wonder, does it really matter which road we take? We dream a lot. Does it matter which one we follow? Does it matter if we accept this job or that job? Does it matter if we live here or over there? But I think that it is reasonable to understand that life happens. We change our minds. Circumstances, they get in the way. And we are called upon to make adjustments. My feeling is that as we experience life, our view of this life changes. Our dreams, our intentions, and our desires go in the direction compatible with where we find us at that moment. And I think this is what is meant to happen. Life presents itself to us in a variety of ways, and it does so daily. If we insist on clinging to some plan that we had for ourselves 20 years ago, but did not act on, we will find us out of sync with where we are at the moment. Now, the thing is that when we dream our dreams, when we consider our talents and our intentions, if they are really that important to us, we should act on them at that moment. Life does not stand still and wait for us to decide that now we are ready to make our move. Each day ushers in a whole new set of circumstances, and we will be required to dream our dreams in a new way. Now, this does not mean that at some point in time that we cannot chase after one of those dreams we wrote about in the class yearbook but failed to follow. We can still do this. It's just that now we will be chasing it with different intentions, ones that are more compatible with where we are at this stage of our life. But you know, that question still remains for us. What holds us back? What keeps us from acting when we first have that desire to do so? Why don't we follow our instincts and our inclinations? I think that many times it is our thoughts that stand in the way. Many times it is what we hold in mind as opinion, an idea that holds us back. Especially those opinions and ideas that we have about us. We think about us in a particular way. We base our thoughts on past experience, and we begin to judge us. We have set a certain standard for ourselves, and then we measure us against that standard. We set goals according to our talents, our desires, and our intentions at that moment. The point is that some of those things that we have tried in the past, well, they really haven't been all that successful. Things didn't work out the way that we thought they would, and we are somewhat apprehensive now about trying again. I mean, we were all excited about that dream, and we were certain that our talents and our intentions would bring success. And when this didn't happen, we began to think, what if I chase still yet one more dream and it goes nowhere? Well, do you see what is happening now? Fear has replaced our enthusiasm. Well, you know, no one can ever guarantee us that our attempts will always be successful. Sometimes we must discover what does not work before we can understand what does work. We really hinder ourselves when we think in terms of success and failure. It is this way of thinking that keeps us stuck in a particular place, unable to move. It's our thoughts that have placed barriers around us, and we are really unable to escape. We need to get our minds out of the way. We need to stop thinking about us in any way at all. The mind that dwells on fear, it has to go. Remember, many times it is fear that keeps us trudging along in that same old familiar rut. And to continue on in this way, we allow doubts to creep in, and we are afraid to move. We are afraid to step out and do something, anything. I think it's basically the fear of the unknown that keeps our feet planted in cement. And then it's the remembrance of past mistakes that keeps us from trying again. This is a mindset, and it has to go. Now, when we stop dictating that things should occur in a certain way, those barriers that we have built begin to fall. Without our personal ideas, concepts, and opinions getting in the way, the dream begins to unfold according to its plan for expression. And then we discover that our talents and our desires are one with the dream. The mind that concerns itself with what others have to say about what it is they think about us, well, it has to go. You know, everyone is entitled to their opinions, but really, what does that have to do with us? We do not need to concern ourselves with other people. They are on their personal journey, and they will discover by themselves what it is that works best for them. We must allow them to enjoy their adventure according to where they are in understanding. Now, if they are sowing to the flesh, well, so be it. If they are able to sow to the Spirit, then we know that they have had their moment of truth. But really, none of this is our business. We are not here to please others, but rather we are here to please God. Then an interesting thing happens. The more that we are able to leave people where they are, the less we are concerned about what they think of us or what they have to say about us. Really, we must concern ourselves with our consciousness only. We cannot enter into another's awareness and try to improve them. Actually, by now, I think we've all discovered that we can't even improve ourselves. Remember, we tried to do that by thinking about us in a certain way? But we were always changing our mind. We always had new opinions and ideas. So that really did not work. There is no need to try to make us over at all. No need to do so. God created us, and we cannot improve on His work. The mind has got to go. The mind that is so concerned with circumstances and conditions, the one that is worried and anxious about this or about that, it must go. When we entertain thoughts in this way, we find us tied to the experience, and there will be no way out. Now, when I say that the mind has got to go, what I really mean is that that type of mental activity must cease. All of the thinking, judging, worrying, and concern must go. It must get out of the way so that the activity of the God mind may be in and through us. Let us concern ourselves with our consciousness only. And you see, we do this so that it does not become cluttered with the misadventures of the human thought. Now, when we first get that idea that we want to improve us, many times what it is we mean is that we would like to improve our conditions or our situations. For instance, when we concern ourselves with our finances, our health, with our health and our relationships, it is usually because we would like to see a degree of improvement. So we begin thinking in a particular way. And this way most likely will reflect duality, health or sickness, rich or poor, harmonious relationships or not. And this is how it begins. We are thinking. And in no time we have built yet one more barrier around us. Only this time we have accepted two ideas of us. And we become concerned. Now when we think and act in this way, we are no longer free and open to the activity of spirit. We can only keep free and open to the activity of spirit when we leave behind that consciousness that accepts duality. The activity of God cannot express as us when we are hiding behind those barriers that were built by the human thought. We cannot express God's idea when we are closed to that idea. Let us concern ourselves with our consciousness only, so that we may be receptive to the activity of spirit. Where do we begin? Well, let us remember that God has made us. God has breathed life into us and made us a living soul. God has planted in us a holy, right seed. We are to tend this holy, right seed so that we may grow up into the fully conscious child of God. Now remember, the Creator sustains and maintains its creation. Right in the midst of us is everything we need. Right in the midst of us is our sufficiency. It is God who gave us our talents, and we are meant to use them. Just what are our intentions and our inclinations? What is that desire we feel in our hearts? These are God's gifts to us, waiting to come forth and express, all according to His plan. Now that would be God's plan and not ours. The feeling of desire in us is really the urge to express. And when we heed its call, we will find the activity of spirit accomplishing the necessary thing, all without our guidance and our direction, all without us thinking in any way at all. Human traits really are quite interesting. Now, intuitively, mankind knows there's more to him than the physical manifestation. He senses that there is a self that is greater and finer than the one that he is familiar with. The holy right seed in him tells him that this is so. But remember, at first, he doesn't really know about the holy right seed planted in him. So he doesn't really know where this idea comes from. But it's strong, and he wants to do something with it. He begins his work with what it is that he knows, which is really his human understanding. He is consciously aware of what he can see, hear, smell, touch, and taste. Working in this way, he attempts to fit this new idea of him into what he already knows about himself and what it is that he is familiar with. Well, we really can't do this. Once again, let us remind ourselves, we cannot put old wine into new wine bottles. We cannot place this new idea of us into our old awareness. To accept this greater and finer idea of us, we have to develop a whole new bottle, a whole new state of consciousness. And we do this by paying attention to that voice that tells us there is a greater and finer idea of us. Now, since this voice is really within us, it speaks to us in a personal way. And as we learn to listen, we trust and we obey. And in time, we discover that the material sense of life begins to mean less and less. Now, it isn't so much that we do something to the material sense of life. It's just that when we become aware of that holy right seed planted in us, when we become aware of Christ, it can be said that we are now living in a new bottle. When we live in a new bottle, a new state of consciousness, we receive what is contained in that awareness. Now, I think it's important also to say that this change does not occur overnight. In fact, many of us take an entire lifetime or longer to accomplish this transition to a new state of consciousness into that new body. You see, the thing is that while it is true that that holy right seed is indeed planted in us, it is also true that we become aware of it in bits and in pieces. But you see, just like any seed, the spiritual seed must be nurtured and tended before it can come into fruition. Spiritual consciousness has to be developed. Seeds require soil. Consciousness is the soil where we nurture and care for that spiritual idea. And oh yes, let us not forget that time of preparation. Soil is prepared before it can receive the seed, before it can become aware of the divine idea. Just how do we prepare consciousness that it may receive truth? Well, actually, I've discussed the first step, and that is to give up a material sense of life, allow it to become less and less. And then we study. And then we practice what it is that we have studied. Now, to me, I think that the most important thing is to spend time going within our consciousness and pondering the message. When we enter a time of meditation, contemplation, and reflection, we hear with the inner ear, and what we receive is meant just for us. And little by little, we unfold into a new place of understanding. Remember, we do not accomplish this overnight. The time of preparation is very important. It is important because if knowledge of the holy right seed is given too soon, it falls on rocky soil, and the first storm that we experience will wash away what little understanding that we have. Truth cannot enter consciousness not prepared to receive it. So take your time. Truth cannot be rushed. That holy right seed planted in us, it doesn't know anything about time or space. I said earlier that the mind has got to go. That is, that the mental activity must get out of the way. And the reason is because my thoughts are not your thoughts. There is nothing to be improved. God cannot be used for the purpose of improving humanhood. There is no power apart from the consciousness of our own being. And when we understand this, we will know that we know. Never again will we be held back or hindered in any way. The holy right seed in us tells us, rise up and walk. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and receive the message that is meant just for us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we prepare for this time of stillness, let us relax our bodies, close our eyes, and release our thoughts. In the sanctuary of our soul's awareness, there are no distractions. There's no stress or anxiety. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we enter his presence, we give no thought. God reveals silently, and it is the open heart that receives the message. In the stillness, we are renewed and we are restored, and we know us in a different way. We no longer think of us as the man of the earth, but as the child of God, whole and complete in his image and of his likeness. To be in his presence is to be one with it. There is no separation, no place where God is not. So let us not worry or be concerned. God is in his heaven, and all is right with the world. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you turn within and acknowledge his presence so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.